baseball, Blue Jays, and more baseball. It's the walk-off with Scott Belford and Adam Mack.
This ball is crushed.
The Die Hard Podcast for the casual fan.
And another one. My goodness.
The general manager's winter meetings are finally upon us, and fingers crossed, something, anything, some dominoes fall in the next 48 to 72 hours. Good morning. I'm Scott Belford, joined as always by the best co-host in the biz, Adam Mack. This is the walk-off. I think that everyone's sentiment in Blue Jays land is summed up pretty well here by our Discord member, R. Henry 896 HWDSB.ON.CA. Listen, guys in Discord, can we stop with this? Just like, can you just be R. Henry? You just, but anyways, he sums it up beautifully. He says, please, Jays, please do something today. Please, please.
Maybe.
You think this is the time, right? It feels like this is a culmination of moves that are going to happen over the week. You know, like that everything that has happened before this has led up to some things going on while all the general managers meet in one place.
You know what I think is going to happen? And we'll nothing. Get into this. No. Lots will happen, but it will be nothing for the Blue Jays. It will be the pieces that need to happen before we can make our moves.
And that is probably what will go on. We are going to get into all sorts of Blue Jays rumors. They are in on a few very big pieces, supposedly, right? Huge show. So let's start with the fact that Brian Reynolds, center fielder for the Pittsburgh Pirates, asks for a trade, which of course piqued every Blue Jays fan's interest when that news dropped. We'll talk that. Sean Murphy, catcher with the Oakland Athletics, appears to be on the move, which will literally set the catching trade market, something that the Blue Jays are involved heavily in. We'll talk that. Fred McGriff, finally, after way too long, gets the call to the Hall of Fame. We'll touch on that. Aaron Judge looks poised for a 9-year contract. So, wow. We'll talk that and where he's at in his negotiations. Justin Verlander, the big pitching domino remaining, looks ready to fall shortly. The Blue Jays supposedly still in talks with him. And then we'll end the show just touching on the shortstop class, where Trey Turner is at, the fact he's close to signing, tons of interest in Xander Bogaerts, but none of it, as shocking as it may be, from Boston. Okay, so a couple days ago, Brian Reynolds of the Pittsburgh Pirates. And really, I was in Pittsburgh in September for the Blue Jays series there. Not a lot of fan support. There's not a lot of reasons to go out and watch Pittsburgh Pirates baseball at this moment. Brian Reynolds is one of the few. Him and O'Neill Cruz basically are the reason fans are showing up at that stadium. But then he came out 2 days ago and said that he wanted a trade. Now, of course, this is a dude Blue Jays fans have salivated over since the realization we needed a center fielder. That since we decided, and by we, I mean obviously the front office, but Jays fans seem pretty on board with moving George Springer from center field, a very taxing position on a body of his size and an age of 33, to right field. And that seems to be... It's tough to judge what this Jays team is doing because we have literally heard almost nothing, but it seems like with the move of Teoscar Hernandez, this is part of the plan. Now, Adam, Brian Reynolds, statistically, offensively, would be excellent.
Yeah, I mean, we got the tweet here from Danny Vetti. Brian Reynolds ranks among qualified NL center fielders in 22, first in OPS, first in home runs, first in slugging percentage, first in average exit velocity, second in extra base hits, second in total bases, second in weighted runs created plus, WOBA, and WAR.
See, he's one of the best center fielders offensively in the league. Now, yes, a lot has been made out of his defensive face plant, I guess is the best way of putting it, in 2022, because this is what's really weird about Brian Reynolds, is that he really was a good center fielder. His outs above average were good to elite in every year but last year, and then it was just plain bad with a -7. Now, we've talked about this before, the advanced defensive stats, they're not perfect, and we saw it with Matt Chapman this year.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Chapman, according to these stats, were considered a below average third baseman. Anyone with eyes in Blue Jays land knows darn well that wasn't the case. But there is still something to be said for these stats. And it was really interesting, too, because with left batters, his outs above average was actually +1. So almost all of his negative outs above average that occurred was with right-handed batters. And that makes you wonder if it was the positioning the Pirates were playing with that caused part of this. Sometimes it's bad luck. And I know that stats, according to FanGraphs, he was one of the more unlucky center fielders this year, whatever that means.
You know what? Honestly, everything to do with the Pittsburgh Pirates is a bit of a write-off defensively. I mean, we watched that.
Great point, by the way.
The third baseman was pulling spits out of his back pocket while the play was happening. You remember that hilarious play? If I was a better producer, I'd pull up the video of this right now. But there's a guy rounding third, and he's pulling spits out of his back pocket for a moment. Like, that's the kind of team atmosphere that was going on in Pittsburgh this year. So,
yeah, it's not like the Pirates were overly engaged in the games, especially after about June when they were already mathematically eliminated from the playoffs.
So I'm not going to read too much into that. I mean, if historically he's good and last year not so good, it's not a concern for me.
This is news that did pique every Blue Jays fan's interest for numerous reasons. And we just kind of went over it. Just the fact it looks like George is probably moving to right field, the Jays need for a center fielder or someone who can log some serious time there, the need of a lefty bat, which Brian Reynolds is. David Bednar is a big bullpen piece that interests a lot of Blue Jays fans and should, and would fit into this bullpen really nicely. So you dream of this big trade that would fill several needs within this Blue Jays organization. But here's the thing. The Pittsburgh Pirates are a joke organization. And if you think Brian Reynolds asking for a trade is going to move the needle on this front office in Pittsburgh at all, it's laughable. 3 years of control they have this guy at a very, very reasonable rate. He's just ARB eligible this year. I don't know, man. I don't think it's happening. I don't think he's going anywhere. There are a lot of other teams that have supposedly said that they're interested, and why wouldn't you when we just went over his offensive numbers. Anyone who's in need of a center fielder, and even forget that, a left-handed bat in the outfield is going to be interested in this guy.
All right. I want to agree with you, but at the same time, we're just about to talk the Sean Murphy Oakland Athletics situation. I don't see the difference. The Athletics are a joke organization as well. 3 years of control left on Sean Murphy.
Yeah.
For me, it's a very equivalent situation. I think except
for the fact that Billy Beane and the front office in Oakland is a lot better at what they do.
All right.
Than the Pittsburgh Pirates. That's my only argument, but I agree with you 100%. If you're just taking a zoomed out look at it, at the landscape, you would think that they're in the exact same position.
So you think that the Pirates' sheer incompetence is going to stand in the way of Brian Reynolds getting moved?
Do you think, Adam, Brian Reynolds coming out and asking for a trade lowers the Pirates' leverage at all?
No.
If they are, I don't think so either. At first I did. At first I was like, wow, Brian Reynolds is really screwing the Pirates over. But then the more you think about it, the more you're like, the Pirates don't even have to move him. Like, you can request the trade all day long. Like, Brian Reynolds was already probably miserable in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, like, that's kind of where I come down is I'm over reading into a team having leverage or not.
Yeah.
Like, he's got 3 years left. It's not like it's a walk year where he's like, I'm going to sit out this season. Like, he's not sitting out for three freaking seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, yeah, they don't have to move him. He's going to hurt himself more than anything if he starts eating spits mid play. Brian Reynolds is going to have to play his face off for his own contract's sake. I don't think there's a leverage situation. I think that the Pirates should move him. I think anybody who was interested before is just maybe more interested now.
I would have to agree with that. And I think Jays fans maybe need to cool their jets a little bit because there is some major interest in Reynolds. And the Pittsburgh Pirates have two very viable young catching prospects coming up the ranks right now. Now, the Blue Jays' biggest area of strength, and we've talked about this freaking ad nauseum, right? Like, we bring this up every time we hit record, is most likely a catching trade that's going to bolster any area of need the Blue Jays do through trade. Not necessarily. I'm not saying the Blue Jays can't get a deal done without including a catcher. I think they would be able to pull it off. However, are they prepared to move a Ricky Tiedemann? I don't think they are. So if you're going to try and get a Brian Reynolds with prospects, I don't know if it's doable. Now, maybe you can put in a Santiago Espinal, but even how much value does Espinal have outside of the fact he plays a good second base defensively, is an average hitter, and would fit in really nicely and affordably in that Pirates? Like, there is value there. I'm not saying there's not value, but you know what I mean, right? He's not Brian Reynolds. He's
I'm just having a hard time understanding the direction of the Pittsburgh Pirates, where they want to go. And that's got to be frustrating as a Pittsburgh fan.
Yes.
I think as it stands right now, I don't know if anybody was calling Pittsburgh inquiring about Brian Reynolds before this.
Especially after they came out and said they have no interest in moving him. Right? Like, there was interest in Reynolds, I think, at the trade deadline last year, but Sherrington made it very clear that he wasn't interested in moving on from Brian Reynolds unless he was completely blown away. And I think he held firm on that. And I think it just got around other organizations. And now you're right. Reynolds comes out and requests a trade. All of a sudden that phone's going off the hook again. Right?
So yeah, I would say as far as leverage goes, it's, you know, it's a buyer's market, not a buyer's market. It's a supply and demand, right?
Yes.
Affects the value. And if nobody thought Reynolds was available, then the demand would be zero.
Yes.
All of a sudden, everybody knows that he's available, or at least self-imposed requests to be available. So there's going to be 10 plus teams now who are calling up or meeting and rubbing elbows at the water cooler on Brian Reynolds. So I would say the value's going up as far as the trade goes. I think that's good for Pittsburgh, but I don't know what they want in return. I would say probably prospects, something cheap that they can put on the field that fans are going to be somewhat excited about.
Mm-hmm. I am so grateful to be a Toronto Blue Jays fan when you look at the mess the Pirates are in. And I know that was one thing that really stood out. I had a blast in Pittsburgh, and most Blue Jays fans did. And we really did commandeer that PNC Park when that Blue Jays series happened. It was 50-50, and by far, I mean, all the Canadians were there on a weekend vacation, right? So it was a much louder crowd for the Jays because everyone was drunk and having a good time and they were winning, right? But man, Pirates fans, that was one thing that really stood out to me, and I can't think of a better word than downtrodden. Just no hope. They had no hope in their management. They had no hope in their ownership. They just didn't feel like this team, no matter what's going on. And I know I was talking with one gentleman who brought up O'Neill Cruz and was like, I don't even have faith that they're going to be able to develop him properly. So the fans have no faith in their development ability, no faith in their ability to keep players, no faith in the front office. Like, man, no wonders that stadium's empty.
O'Neill Cruz is going to be a freak athlete in this sport. I'm not worried about his development. I would be frustrated as a Pirates fan that they are not going to put any sort of competitive team around him, and that they are going to squander his years until he goes. Just frustrating for sure. But I mean, honestly, if O'Neill Cruz came out tomorrow and said, I would like to be traded too, please, like, package me and Reynolds together, I wouldn't be surprised. But that's really too bad.
We'll move on here. We don't want to talk how terrible the Pirates are too much here, but it is too bad that this is the position they're in, because it's a beautiful park and Pittsburgh is a surprisingly pretty city. It's the park is right in the downtown on the river. Like, the market could boom there, but they're just going about it all wrong. You know, it's what happens when you penny pinch for decades. Yep. Let's get into the next subject here. Sean Murphy of the Oakland Athletics, without a doubt, is the most sought after catcher in the trade market. Outside maybe Alejandro Kirk, you could argue that they're 1-2, depending on where you view their value. I think that they're right there neck and neck, and it depends on what organization's view. Sean Murphy has 1 year less of control than Alejandro Kirk. Offensively, Kirk is slightly above where Murphy is, and defensively, Murphy is slightly above where Kirk is. Depending on how the evaluation goes within an organization would depend on who you value the most. But multiple reports have come out that the A's are very, very close to moving Sean Murphy. And why does this interest us? Well, it's going to be a pretty darn good comparable as to what the Blue Jays can receive. Yep. So the teams mentioned that are in on Murphy are, of course, all the teams we've already heard tied with the Blue Jays. Right? Any team that needs a catcher. So the Cardinals, the Rays, the Guardians, and the Red Sox seem to be the finalists. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, do any of these teams surprise you?
Not really. Maybe the Rays a little bit, but not even there, because if the Rays decide, the Rays are such a pitching factory, and this is my dream. The Rays get Sean Murphy. Now, of course, that would be a thorn in our side as Blue Jays fans, because it's a pretty darn good catcher coming within the division. However, if the Rays wind up giving up a Springs or a major league ready starting pitcher, that sets the bar. Mm-hmm. Now we as Blue Jays fans can expect this front office, Shapiro, it's in my brain, gang. Shapiro and Atkins to go out and be able to get a starting pitcher, an area of need for this Toronto Blue Jays team.
I'm surprised the Red Sox are on this list. We're going to talk about it at the end here when we talk shortstops. Mm-hmm.
What are they doing?
Yeah. Why do you let Bogarts go and then go get Sean Murphy? Like, I don't know. It just,
the Rubik's Cube that is the Chaim Bloom Red Sox, I cannot solve. Like, I don't know. They go spend $140 million on Trevor Story and then they let Bogarts leave. Like,
we'll touch on shortstops later. Let's focus on Sean Murphy for now. It's weird, man. It's I don't know. I think you have a good point, though, that what happens with Sean Murphy is going to set the market for the Blue Jays. Yes. And this is what we touched on off the top of the show, is that this move, I think, happens this week.
Yes.
I don't think Jansen or
Kirk or Moreno.
Or Moreno get moved this week at the GM winter meetings. I do think Sean Murphy goes, and then I think that sets the tone for discussions on Blue Jays catchers over the next month.
And may actually decide which catcher the Blue Jays move. Right. Like maybe that is one of the reasons why the Blue Jays front office is waiting on Sean Murphy, which was reported a month ago that the Jays may take this approach. Let Murphy fall where he falls. And then from there, they can decide which direction they would like to take with this three-headed monster catching.
Well,
This is the
thing is right now, like just looking at this list, Cardinals, Rays, Guardians, Red Sox. If all those teams need a catcher, and I'd say you could probably throw the Astros into the mix there too, yes, even though they're not listed 100%. In this tweet, needing a good quality catcher.
Even the Cubs you could put in there. There are teams out there that need a catcher.
For sure. For sure. But once those big dominoes fall, right? Once Aaron Judge goes to the Giants, or once DeGrom goes to
Texas for big
Texas,
money.
Right?
Yeah, for DeGrom big money. Already went. Yeah.
All of a sudden, the price goes up on the guys that are left, right? Like Brandon Nimmo is going to get more money once Aaron Judge is off the books, right? Because
the offers he's
getting right now are not going to be as good when the Giants, the Dodgers, the Mets, the Yankees still all have their eyes set on Aaron Judge. But once those musical chairs start getting taken away, that's when the desperation comes, right? So that's probably going to work to the Blue Jays' best interest. Now, what does Sean Murphy get? And like, what does he get back in a haul? I would say maybe the Jays get more for Alejandro Kirk or Danny Jansen than Sean Murphy, surely out of panic.
That's very true.
Fear of being left out in the cold.
That's very true. Now, especially when you're talking Alejandro Kirk, because he's a great comparable with Sean Murphy. I mean, they're very different catchers, by the way, but just the quality of the two are right up there, right? So I think it's going to be really interesting to see what happens. I really hope Major League Ready Pitching comes back in that Sean Murphy deal. I worry that it's going to be all top prospects, which is not, that's not what the Jays need.
No.
The Jays are so far past the rebuilding phase. Maybe in 2019, this is something that we could discuss. What kind of prospects would this team get by moving a guy like Kirk? But there's no need for the Blue Jays to move a catcher if they're not going to fill an area of need. I would rather them roll with three catchers, and I don't think that is ideal in any sort of scenario. I think that they will trade a catcher, and I think they probably should, even just for playing time with a guy like Moreno. You don't wish one of these guys to just sit on the bench, right? You can go out and get a Martin Maldonado to do that, if that's the direction you'd like to go. But I think Gabriel Moreno is going to need almost everyday playing time for him to properly develop into the catcher everyone sees him being. Alejandro Agreed. Kirk is an all-star. You need his bat in the lineup every single day. And Danny Jansen has the most power of all three of them and manages the starting pitching rotation better than anyone else because he's got all that experience. So, you know, there's so many reasons why you want all of them in the lineup at all times. So, yes. There's a lot of Blue Jays fans that are beating the drum very loudly. We don't need, it's not, you don't have to move a catcher. And that's true, but you probably should.
Probably should. how do you feel, honestly, if we carry all three catchers into next season? Are you okay with that?
I don't like it either.
I know a lot of people that are adamant that we shouldn't force a trade. I kind of feel like we should.
Yeah. And listen, I would rather them carry three catchers than move a guy for prospects. I don't think, you know.
I don't want to move. Okay. I don't want to move a guy for prospects, but if we're saying, and let's just throw the name out, Gabriel Moreno, let's just say we should get back an A level Brian Reynolds. Let's just say we get him back. Right. I would rather go into next season taking a lesser return who's still
going to fill that area of need.
Going to fill in like a B plus guy than just have three catch. I don't know. I'm just.
Those of you listening too, drop in the comments what you think here. I mean, Adam and I are so on the fence. We go back and forth with this constantly. Which catcher should they move? Who should be traded? Should we keep them all? Like, what do you think? But I agree with you, and I really do feel like if we're going to bolster the outfield or starting pitching, one of them will be done by free agency and one of them has to be done by trade. And of course, the biggest chip this team has is catching. So we'll move on from there. We talk this all the time. Man, I can't wait for stuff to happen, buddy.
Right there with you. Speaking of stuff happening, Fred McGriff.
Yes.
Hall of Fame bound. Pretty cool.
Former Toronto Blue Jay. Of course, he played 5 years with the Jays. Stud with the Braves. That's probably how he'll go into the hall with a Braves hat on. That would be my guess. So Sunday night, last night, the Hall of Fame's Contemporary Era Committee, which is the committee they put together to try and fix mistakes that the baseball writers had made. Not really happening, though, eh, bud?
Yeah, not really happening.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I am so happy to see Fred McGriff get into the Hall of Fame. He was unanimous. 16 votes. All 16 members of this contemporary committee said, yes, Fred McGriff should go. 8 votes for Don Mattingly, Donnie Baseball. Just not quite there. Kurt Schilling, 7 votes. Schilling probably should be in it. Mattingly should probably be in it, but Mattingly never won. That's a big strike against him. Kurt Schilling, giant piece of shit. So that's a strike against him, right? Dale Murphy had 6 votes. And then listen to this, man. Fewer than 4 votes for Albert Bell, Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, and Rafael Palmeiro. Like, if you're going to try and fix a mistake, Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds, I don't care what anyone says, should be in the Hall of Fame. I've talked about this before. It's a museum. I don't think there's any reason to hide from the steroids. It should be well stated there. Yes, this was during the steroid era, and both were busted numerous times on steroids. We're not proud of it, but also 760 whatever home runs, a mark that will never be beat. How are you keeping this out of the Hall of Fame? I thought that's one of the reasons why they had this contemporary era committee put together, was so that Barry Bonds actually was finally put into the Hall of Fame. And we don't need to dwell on this too much, but man, just so crazy that like Fred McGriff is the guy that they're like, yep, that was the mistake. Nothing else to talk about here.
Moving on.
Moving on.
We don't have to spend too much time on it, but there's so many worse human beings in the Hall of Fame than Barry Bonds. I don't know. It's
hilarious because this whole committee, Adam, was put together fair play, right? We gotta right our wrongs. And then the entire committee was kind of collusion, man. Like, they were hand selected by the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
To keep certain players out. Like, they picked guys who were like, yeah, we're not voting Bonds.
It's a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy at that point, isn't it?
Like, isn't it hilarious that sports writers are the moral arbiters of the Hall of Fame? Like, I don't get me wrong. I love sports writers. We have them on the show all the time. But I mean, this is going, they're going to be our moral compass for who should get into the Hall of Fame.
Should there be a fan vote? Is that a thing? Or is that a bad idea?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
You know, we could waste so much time trying to figure out how to fix the Hall of Fame. Nice coffee mug, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, buddy. Merch available soon, gang. We are working on it.
There you go. Yeah. I don't know. The Hall of Fame continues to shoot itself in the foot, but would you expect anything less from baseball? Probably not.
If anything, they're consistent.
There you go. All right, let's pivot from there then.
Justin Verlander.
Blue Jays continue to be engaged. Justin Verlander. Are you sick of this story yet? Is this
a little bit? A little bit, but I mean, it's to be expected. He is the biggest domino in the pitching market yet to fall. AL Cy Young Award winner. I mean, of course, he opted out. He got a 2-year contract with the Astros last offseason, $50 million over 2 years with an opt out. I mean, you win the AL Cy Young at 39 years old. Of course, you're going to opt out. Mets and Dodgers are who keep getting brought up as the front runners, which makes sense. But also, does it, or are they just the two biggest markets in all of baseball? And of course, they're the ones getting talked about. You know, we're aware of how close the Blue Jays were to landing Verlander last offseason. I mean, we've talked about the fact Verlander actually went to bed one night, convinced he was going to be a Blue Jay, woke up the next day, and was offered something from Jim Crane, a good friend of his, owner of the Astros. You know, they already had that inside track, the Astros did. Mm-hmm. He won a World Series with them in 2017, and they stuck with him over his Tommy John surgery. Something that, you know, there is still some loyalty in baseball. And so I think that's why, even though the rumors were the Blue Jays were competitive and right there with him, that it was just more of a loyalty thing to go to the Astros. But now loyalty's out the door, buddy.
Hold on. Loyalty, I'm not sure I buy loyalty. I do buy familiarity.
Okay.
And comfort. Mm-hmm. And not having to move.
To a new country.
To a new country, let alone a new state. I would say that was probably a bigger factor.
You know what? You convinced me, Adam. I'm going to reel that loyalty word back in, and we'll go with familiarity. That's probably more the truth. However,
Verlander have kids?
Yes.
Like, that's got to be a factor.
Well, right? the rumors
relocating
with LA,
to a new school.
The reason why LA is so talked about, right, is Kate Upton, his wife, you know, actress. They want to stick in LA. Yeah, of course. So we'll see what happens though, because everyone's saying he wants the Max Scherzer deal. $130 million, 3 years. Risky endeavor for a 40-year-old. He turns 40 in February. So is he Nolan Ryan? Like, that is my question. Is this guy such a superhuman that at 43, you're still going to get value? I mean, who knows? I would have guessed that the Astros didn't get value out of that 50-year, $2 million, or the 2-year, $50 million deal. At 38, I would have said that that's a bad move.
Yeah, maybe. I guess what I don't like about this is this would put the Blue Jays right to the luxury tax.
Yes, it would.
Which means very little, if any, wiggle room for any other ads.
Mm-hmm.
Center fielder, not coming. That is or Elvis Martinez in the outfield.
Yeah.
At that point, right? Like, we're putting a rookie out there, or we're getting Kevin Biggio to be our full-time outfielder. For that reason, I don't like it.
Obviously, the front office is giving the lip service that they've got the money to do all sorts of things. But I think you are correct here. Adam nailed it with they'd be over the luxury tax for the first time in Blue Jays history. So you'd need to think that there wouldn't be a lot of wiggle room to fulfill other needs. Now, I'm not necessarily thinking that they go with Aroldis Martinez in the outfield, but I do think that any trade they make is going to be a very controllable, low financial stress on the team, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Like they would wind up going out there, maybe getting like a Lars Nootbaar might work, but there's risk with Nootbaar. We talked about the fact he's only played 166 games. You know, so somebody like that, who's maybe not ARBA eligible yet. So you can spread that, you know, you don't need to pay them much over the next 2-3 years while that Verlander contract, like there is stuff they could do, but it would hamstring them a little bit on their options.
Yeah, I don't like it. I mean, I like it, but that money I think is better spent elsewhere.
I think all Blue Jays fans are in the same boat where if they do win the Verlander sweepstakes, we'll put aside that.
I'll forgive them.
Yeah.
I'll find a way to still,
to stay happy
this season. Yeah. But, yeah.
Okay. So if you're making the decision, you're a no on Justin Verlander, 3 years, $130 million.
Yeah. I think
Now, what about 2 years, $90 million? Because I think 2 years, $90 million, I think I say yes.
It's just for me comes down to the other moves we make.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily care about the longevity of the contract or whatever. But if whatever the deal is for Justin Verlander, if we are also adding a center fielder, or we are also adding something else, I don't really care how it gets done. I just, I think I'm out. I think I'm out. If that's the only bullet we have to shoot.
Jays fans watching right now would love to hear from you. Drop a comment below. Let us know what you think. Justin Verlander, are you prepared to go all in on the AL Cy Young Award winner at 40 years old? We see it in sports all the time. Look at Tom Brady, right? How many times were people like, bad move? Like, you don't want to, he's too old. He can't keep doing it. And he keeps doing it. They said the same thing about Nolan Ryan. Took him blowing his arm out at 47. You know, like,
yep.
Who knows? There are super freaks out there. Is Justin Verlander a super freak? He's already pretty close to that category. Yeah. I mean, coming back from Tommy John at 39 and winning a Cy Young is pretty incredible. Never been done before. Maybe he is worth the risk. Only time will tell. Let's move on from there. Aaron Judge. Buddy, this dude is going to break records. He's going to make more per year than any position player in baseball to this point. He's going to get a massive amount of years. And I think that it looks like it's 9 years or nothing. Everyone was talking 7 to 8 years. All the pundits seem to be in agreement that it's going to take that extra year, bringing him to age 39, to land Aaron Judge. It's already been stated that the Yankees offered him 8 years, $300 million. How much higher does this go is the question. This was really interesting too. Yankees reporter Brandon Cootie, and Adam will throw up the tweet here, but the tweet says, interesting theory from a few baseball people here last night. Around now is when Yankees could look to pressure Aaron Judge to make a decision, especially if they think the Giants are his only real other offer. Threat of them being all ready to move could leave him with just one option. A few things to unpack here. To pressure Aaron Judge seems like a mistake. Now, I understand why the Yankees would want to do that, because if they do lose out on Aaron Judge, you know darn well they're spending big on something else. They're probably in on one of the four shortstops. You know, if they've budgeted $300 million, gang, they're going to spend it somewhere. And they don't want to miss out on other free agents. You know, they don't want to miss out on their second option.
Didn't they already pressure Aaron Judge last year? He lowballed him.
Yeah.
I think this is a bad play.
I mean, pressuring a guy like Aaron Judge, this is how you wind up with a Kendrys Morales. Like, I'm not comparing Judge to Encarnacion, but we've watched as Blue Jays fans this attempt at the front office to pressure a player completely blow up in our face, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's enough bad will there that an ultimatum isn't going to work out for the Yankees. It's just not. So Aaron Judge, I kind of hope the Yankees do get him, though, if it is 9 years.
Imagine it's 9 years, 350 or something insane like that, 3 years.
There's no way that works out for the Yankees.
Not in the long run. I mean, believe me, I would, the idea of Aaron Judge for age 31, 32, 33, 34, that's a pretty appealing
look. As a Jays fan who has to deal with the New York Yankees on a regular basis, 3 full weeks a year, we deal with the Yankees. I guess I would be a little more concerned if Aaron Judge was this monster slugger who was playing in Pittsburgh. And now there was the, oh no, the Yankees are going to add Aaron Judge. Like, worst case scenario.
We're just dealing with the Yankees from last year again.
Yeah. Like, it's not, they haven't improved by retaining Judge. Like, I think I'm more scared of a Yankees fan, like of a Yankees team that loses Judge and adds Carlos Correa.
Adam Mack with the devil you know argument. I love it.
Yeah, devil you know. Well, I mean,
hey, I'm with you. I kind of agree, man. Like, I feel that it's only going to blow up in the Yankees' face 5 years, 6 years from now if they do need to go all in on Judge. I respect what they would, the fact that they're prepared to go that big. That would be pretty eye-opening. I'd also love to see him go to the Giants just for how much it would hurt all of the Yankees fans' feelings.
That would be nice too. That would be nice too. I mean, let's be real. That was the best, I guess I don't want to say best possible version of Aaron Judge, but pretty darn close.
Yeah.
To the best possible version. He was healthy. He was on the field the entire season. He hit 62 bombs. They still didn't win a World Series with him.
Adam, do you think it's safe to say that last year was his career year?
I don't know if it's safe to say. Nothing's safe in sports.
Yeah.
But I would say the likelihood
Let me reword that. If you're a betting man and it's your money, are you betting against Aaron Judge breaking last year's? Like, do you think last year was his career year?
I do think that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's getting older. It's.
I mean, this is the thing with a guy who just about wins the triple crown and hits 62 home runs. Even if he has a bad year next year, he's probably still hitting close to 40. And like, you know, he's still going to be a behemoth on the field.
Agreed. And just the more money they give him, the less money he has or the less money they have to address other needs. And clearly they have other needs. So if that moves them out of the Carlos Rodon market because they spent it all on Aaron Judge, I'm happy with that.
Yeah, I'm all for it. I'm all for it. All right, let's wrap this up here. It's been a good little show this Monday. We actually had quite a bit to talk about, even though nothing has actually happened yet. But man, fingers crossed that we get to, you know what would be beautiful, buddy, is we release this. And then tonight I'm calling you and I'm like, all right, we got to do a quick video here. The Jays landed somebody. That's the dream.
That's the dream. Lots of shortstops available. Do you think one gets signed?
this well, week? All the rumors are that Trey Turner is very, very close to a massive. Now, the rumor was $288 million deal. So just under the Francisco Lindor deal. The Phillies seem to be the team that is tied to him the most. This is still all speculation and rumors, but I think that it makes a ton of sense. The Phillies are a major market. They've got some big bucks to spend, and they've got a hole at shortstop, and they are well, it has been well stated that they are in on these mega four shortstops.
Plus, you could argue there. I mean, there's an argument to be made that they are a contender.
Yes. Right. You could make that argument. Sure.
I mean, I think any team that goes to the World Series is in win now mode.
Are you sure? Are you sure you don't want to just pout with me about the only 187 games? Yeah, I would say the Phillies are a contender, and they are, again, a money machine. So I think that this makes a ton of sense. Mm-hmm. We are going to. I think Trey Turner is the first domino to fall, and it's going to be so interesting to see what Carlos Correa does once that happens, because I truly believe Carlos Correa still thinks that he should get the Francisco Lindor, and we'll just need to see if there's markets out there that agree with him.
I'm with you there. Yeah.
Let's talk Xander Bogaerts to wrap things up.
Okay.
Xander Bogaerts, obviously getting all sorts of interest. I know I was reading on MLB.com just this morning that there are supposedly 8 teams kicking the tires on him. Adam, you know what shocked me about reading that? That the Red Sox are not one of them.
They're too busy going after a new catcher. They got their sights set on a top tier catcher. Like, they're in Boston is an insane.
What is happening in Boston? It doesn't, man, they won the World Series in 2018. Like, they are not that far removed from being a juggernaut. They won in 2011 and 2013, 2007, 2004. Like, man, they have been such a good organization since that first World Series, constantly competing, always prepared to spend money, always in on the big free agents. And since that Mookie Betts move, the new curse?
The curse of Mookie. I almost said the coos. Potentially, maybe it is another 100 years. Be nice.
Listen, Chaim Bloom is being given a lot of rope here. And I think it's because he did win a World Series with them only 4 years ago. That was his team he built. But man, I really don't understand what he's doing, what the plan is. You know, like, you look at organizations, even the Pirates, at least you know what the plan is, right? Save as much money as possible at every turn. Yeah. But that's not the case with the Red Sox. They just spent $140 million on Trevor Story.
It is... a weird situation. Like, JD Martinez gone.
Yeah.
They got rid of Christian Vasquez at the deadline.
Mm-hmm.
This team doesn't know whether to crap or go blind, essentially. Like,
it is so difficult in baseball to develop homegrown talent. And we watched the Red Sox do it with Benintendi. We watched them do it with Bogaerts. We watched them do it with Devers. And now we're watching them not retain this homegrown talent. And I think it might be a little bit of a lesson for the rest of MLB. And frickin' Atkins and Shapiro, listen up. These type of talents don't grow on trees. And if you're prepared to just let Mookie Betts go. Now, I'm well aware that there are way more, there's way more caveats to the Betts trade than we're just letting on here. Obviously, there were a lot of things going on, and in the end, Mookie wanted to go, and I think that's why it happened. But mm-hmm. The fact that they didn't try 4 years earlier, 3 years earlier to retain him blows my mind. And now we're watching them make the same mistake with Bogaerts and Devers. You never know what's going on behind those closed doors in the front offices, but it feels like a mistake from an outsider looking in.
Yeah, it sure does. Again, it would make more sense if this was a team that was in rebuild mode, but I just don't know why they would let Bogarts move and then sign Trevor Story.
And maybe they are, maybe that is the answer. Maybe they should be in rebuild mode, but it doesn't. These aren't the moves they've made over the last 12 months that would signal a rebuild.
Yeah, I don't know. It's so confusing. I don't know. I know this is the expert analysis everyone comes to this channel for, but I'm baffled by this one.
Please, we would love to hear your thoughts on the Red Sox here and what direction they're taking. I know that this is a Blue Jays focused podcast, but even Jays fans, please feel free to let us know what you think. Like I wish there was a theory. You know, I wish someone could say, Scott, this is what's happening. Maybe they're not doing it well, but at least this is the path that they have taken. Because I can't even figure out the map of what they're trying to do.
neither can I, man.
Personally, if Bogarts leaves, they better be all in on Devers. They literally better give Devers whatever contract he's after. I'm not saying that the sky is the limit, but let's make a reasonable competitive offer on Rafael Devers. Like, if you're just going to let your top talent walk at free agency, anyways.
Well, I mean, there has been talk about frustration inside that clubhouse that they have not been paying the guys that have been there. And instead they're giving it away to outsiders. So if I'm Devers, if they let Bogarts walk,
I think this is why maybe Boston isn't in on Bogarts. Maybe it's not even at the point that it's just Bogarts is like giving him the bird up yours, Red Sox. You know, you just watched Trevor Story get $140 million. You're their premium shortstop at a premium position, homegrown, won a World Series with the team. And now they're taking that money. They're not re-upping on you, and they're going and spending it on a free agent like Trevor Story. And you're just like, you know what? I was prepared to sign, but I'm not now. Like, these guys are humans, right? Like, I know it's all about the money, Adam. I'm aware. But also at the same time, if you're going to get the same amount of money in numerous places, we could name any, like, you know.
Okay, but if that is the... You know, let's play that out. If that's the case, then why would Devers be any different? Like, if you just watched your best friend, get,
yeah,
you know, frustrated and walk, why would you want to stick around? I don't know. It's just, it's crazy. Like, again, I'm baffled by this. I'm baffled.
We'll wrap it up there because we're just talking ourselves in circles trying to figure out this Red Sox Rubik's Cube. But yeah, absolutely. Honestly, everybody, thank you so much for following us this far. If you are still watching and have not subscribed, please do. We always appreciate it. Any interaction is always valued. You can feel free to drop comments below. We will get to those or as many as we can on our mailbag. Our Monday morning mailbag, which we run every single Tuesday afternoon, will be tomorrow. So we'll go through some of those. We'll see you then. All the best, everybody. Cheers.
Okay. Very good, sir.
All right, man. Good job.
Oh, you too. I'll get those.
Oh, man. Fuck. What? Verlander just went to the Mets.
Who?
Verlander just went to the Mets.
Verlander to the Mets. Okay, well, you want to...
Let's double check that. Yeah. Right-hander Justin Verlander to the New York Mets, an agreement on a contract. Jeff Passan.
All right, well...
2 years, $86 million. Fuck.
2 years, $86 million. Wow. Okay. Well, we're still recording for the audio side. So if you're still here.
Yeah.
Apologies for all that Blue Jays in on Verlander talk. We'll skip that clip. We won't release that today. all right. Well, let's, I guess, hit record again and we'll talk about this then.
Yeah, sounds good. Man, I really do like Justin Verlander, but it would be so awesome if these aging 38-year-old Max Scherzer and 40-year-old Justin Verlander just kind of take a little bit of a reality check in 2023. Because, man, oh, man, the Mets would be so fucked. It would be so awesome.
3, 2, 1, and we're rolling.
So, Mr. Mac, we just laid down our whole podcast for Monday morning. We went over all of the options that Justin Verlander may have. Will he go to the Dodgers? The Blue Jays are still in on him. Will he go to the Mets? Of course, we hit stop on our record button there. And I've got like 8 texts from people being like, holy shit, Verlander to the Mets. And I'm like, oh, of course, as we're doing it, right?
That's the way she goes.
Way she goes. So hello, everybody. This is the Walk Off. We're a Blue Jays focused podcast. I'm Scott Belford, joined as always by the best co-host in the biz, Adam Mack, and the biggest free agent pitching domino has just fallen. What does this mean going forward? Because he got paid, my dude.
Yes, sir.
Jeff Passan breaking the news that right-hander Justin Verlander and the New York Mets are in agreement on a contract. That contract looks to be 2 years, $86 million, so an AAV of $43 million a year. No word if there is a third-year option. That is a possibility, maybe a mutual option or something like that. As details come out, we'll figure that out. Cy Young Award winner for the American League this year, coming off Tommy John surgery at 39 years old. And Justin Verlander is reunited with Max Scherzer back to the Tigers days way back.
It's he's off the books. I don't know what else to say. I'm kind of glad that we can end the Blue Jays in on him speculation. Mm-hmm. We could set our sights elsewhere. Carlos Rodon, perhaps.
Carlos Rodon, now the biggest free agent on the pitching market, the most sought after, the highest end dude that you can go out and get.
Look, this is the GM winter meetings. This is what it's all about, right? So,
some news, though, buddy. Finally.
Finally, some news. Yes, finally, some news.
And I think this will signal a flurry of moves over the next 48 hours.
I think so too. So stay tuned. It's exciting. I'm glad that it's finally starting to go.
The New York Mets missing out on Jacob DeGrom. Of course, he went to the Texas Rangers on a massive, insane deal, especially for a guy with the injury problems of DeGrom. And so, you know what? The Mets had offered 3 years to DeGrom around the same. And I think that if you're going to take the risk of signing a Jacob DeGrom, I think the risk of signing 40-year-old Justin Verlander probably is even less than
probably
Jacob
right.
DeGrom. So they've got their stud at the top of the order again. Justin Verlander, 2 World Series, a couple Cy Young Awards. The guy is truly a Hall of Fame pitcher joining this Mets rotation. And they look pretty deadly. We'll see where the Mets go from here. But I mean, having Scherzer and Verlander at the top of your rotation, I think any organization in baseball would gladly take that.
Yeah. I mean, kudos to the Mets. They missed out on Jacob DeGrom. And I think Verlander's going to replace him nicely in that rotation. So I don't think they're going to notice any sizable setback in pitching next year.
So, Adam, with seeing this free agent pitching market shape up the way it is, and I think it's even a little bit beefier than folks had expected. And when I say that, I mean, just guys are getting paid. I mean, we talked about the fact Matt Boyd got $10 million and now we're watching these high end guys. I mean, DeGrom getting over $200 million. We're watching Justin Verlander just under $100 million for 2 years. Rodon, I think he's going to be north of $150 million. I don't think there's much out there that would say any differently. I mean, people expected him to get around 120, 130, but I think we're going to see 6 years, 160, 170 now after you're seeing where this market's at. So my question for you is, do the Blue Jays bolster their rotation through trade? It's looking more and more like that might be the way to go and go free agency for an outfielder.
Yeah, that's probably the way to do it.
Time will tell, but prices are hefty out there for pitching.
Yep. Well, I'm just glad he's not with the Yankees. So,
tip of the hat to that thought. Absolutely. So, Justin Verlander, a New York Met, not Yankee. Thank goodness. Really looks good for the Mets at the top end of their rotation. We'll see what happens going forward. Starting pitching. That market's moving. Thanks everybody for tuning in. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Walk Off Podcast with Scott Belford and Adam Mack, with a new episode every Friday.
Oh! Osborne with a drive. Cheese and cracker shows to pitch to him. Wrong move.
Thanks for listening.